I'm not sure if we will look at all those verses, but we'll see how we go. Large parts of this book of Proverbs, they don't just talk about one thing. You read a saying, then you read the next saying, and something totally different. That makes it quite difficult to preach from, but that's how God has written it for us. Now, as we've been studying the book of Proverbs and looking at some themes, thought it would be good just to take a section and to look at them one after the other, at the way that they are. To look at them the way that they are. We're meant to take them and to weigh them up, to consider them. Each of them is like a box. And if you can open the box and go deep into it, you'll find many treasures. Seems that in those times in the East, people would share these proverbs, and maybe in the court of a king, in the court of Solomon, there'd be wise men who would discuss the meaning of these different sayings, not just to look on the surface, but to try to go a bit deeper. Each verse has a new teaching, each needs to be weighed up. But if you look at the whole section, the whole part that we've read, you can see quickly how wisdom covers all of life. You can see that this book is giving advice for all of life. Verse 1, drinking. Verse 2, those with power and how to deal with rulers. Verse 3, about quarreling and arguing. Verse 4, working hard. Verse 5, understanding hidden things. Verse 6, true friends. And so on it goes. It goes around all kinds of areas of life. You know, God has made all of the world and all of life, and God's word has teaching for every part of life. God wants us to seek wisdom in every part of life. To follow the way of Christ is much, much more than just a few small outward things. It's about growing in understanding in all of life, from childhood to adulthood, to go deeper and to go deeper. To please our Maker with our words, with our ways, with friendships, when we're with those who are high, when we're with those who are low, in all of life. Well, let's look at a few of these, starting with verse 1. Wine is a mocker, beer a brawler. Whoever is led astray, led out of the path by them, is not wise. What's the verse about? It's about self-control. It's about being controlled and led by wisdom. But the believer in Christ must have their life controlled by the Holy Spirit, by the teachings of Christ working in and through them. At wine and drink, they promise fun, they promise excitement, but in the end they betray you and they lead you astray. In the end they deceive you. They lead you to places you wouldn't want to go. You'll wake up and say, how did I get here? It's one of the things that Proverbs repeats. Actually, all of these Proverbs are in areas which are repeated again and again, but different things said, and you can add them together. Are you in control of your life? Are you seeking to gain that control over yourself, over your own path, so you're not led astray by what looks good but leads you into trouble? Or verse 2. A king's wrath is like the roar of a lion. A lion comes bounding into Kipcaran. It's down the hill and you hear its roar. And you think, oh dear, trouble, trouble, I better run. I better hide, get in my house and lock my doors. Trouble. Well, so is the anger of a powerful man, of a leader, someone in authority. If there was a lion just sleeping on the floor, would you pick up a stick and go and beat it? What a foolish thing to do. How foolish to anger those who have power and authority. Now, sometimes you have to stand up for what's right. Sometimes you have to stand up and oppose those who are powerful. But if the lion is just sleeping, will you go and just hit it for fun? How foolish that would be. The Bible teaches us to live a quiet life where we can. Sometimes we can't. But where we can. To not stir up trouble, but to live in godliness, in the life that God gives us. Not to be a troublemaker. Not to foolishly bring down trouble on your own head for no reason. So remember the lion and the stick. Verse 3. It is a man's honour to avoid strife. Strife, fighting, squabbling, quarrelling with your neighbour. Fools are quick to quarrel. So many disagreements in the world, aren't there? So many arguments, so many things that people fall out over. So many neighbours, they don't talk to this neighbour. So many people, if you get those two people in the room, you have people like this in your family or in your neighborhood, you know, if you get this person and that person in the room, they'll start disagreeing and quarreling. But the Bible says that that is foolish. It's an honorable thing to be someone who avoids strife and quarrels. Again, where you can. Sometimes you have to stand up and say, no, this can't be done. But often, you can just walk away. Why will you fill your life full of trouble if you can just walk away? Why will you fill your days with disagreements if you can dwell in peace? And yet, we always have that pride. We want to be right. We want to prove the other person is wrong. We want to show that we're the ones who are in the right place and that they're the ones who's mistaken. But it's just pride and foolishness. We don't need to. We can just walk away. Verse 4 and verse 13. Now these two we can very clearly put together. It's another of the themes of Proverbs. A few weeks ago we looked at Proverbs and work. And there's many verses about work. It's a sluggard. Sluggard, that's a lazy man. A sluggard does not plow in season. He won't prepare his shamba at the right time. So at harvest time he looks, but finds nothing. Verse 13, do not love sleep, or you'll grow poor. Stay awake, you'll have food to spare. The laziness and watching your opportunities walk by you, that leads to trouble. Your life has enough trouble already. And we live in a world that God has judged. Adam had to get his food by toil and by sweat. There were thorns that were growing. There's enough trouble in the world as it is. So why will you add to your trouble by watching your opportunities walk past you? Why will you make it harder than it already is? The hours in the day are few already. The planting and plowing time has enough difficulties already. But if you sit back and watch it, you'll certainly end up with nothing. Laziness leads to emptiness. Work is hard, but without it, you'll have hunger, which is harder. Verse 5. It's a wise man, a man of understanding. He can draw out deep things. It's the purposes, now it's the thoughts or the plans of a man's heart, a deep waters. You know, deep waters, if you had a really deep borehole or you found some very, very deep lake, you can't see the bottom, it's so far down and it's a bit dark, the water's a bit dirty. And you think, I wonder what really is down there? What things can I find there? I don't know. Well, in the same way, our plans and purposes, that your friend may have. You can't see them. They're hidden. They're veiled. It says a man of understanding draws them out. He knows how to speak with his friend. He knows how to come alongside his neighbor. He sees his neighbor is sad. He knows how to encourage him. When he sees his neighbor is uncertain, he knows how to guide him. Now, verse 6 is also about being a good neighbor or being a good friend. And it gives us some advice in looking for our friends, in choosing our friends. Especially important for the young, to choose your friends wisely, who will be your companions in life. It says, many a man claims to have unfailing love, but a faithful man who can find? If many people will tell you that you can trust them, that they'll never leave you, they'll always be there for you, in your hour of need, you can call them. But you know how it is. Your hour of need comes, you call them, they don't pick the phone. Or you get through to them and you tell them of your troubles and they say, oh, I'm fast. Or they say, oh, I'm busy. Oh, I've got troubles of my own now. Don't bother me with these. Or, oh, I wish I could help, but I'm not in any position now. So sorry. Many will claim to be great friends, but few are faithful. The thing to look for in a friend is faithfulness. That they can be trusted, that they can be relied upon. Do you want to be a good friend to others? Be faithful. Don't be here today and gone tomorrow. Don't be a friend when the sun shines, but you flee away when the rain falls. To be faithful is to be consistent, day by day. You want to be faithful to your employer, to be faithful to your husband and wife. It's not something you can do one day and forget the next day. And there's few who are faithful. The Lord Jesus is faithful to us. You don't find a day you call on him in prayer and the answer is, sorry, not today. You're troubling me too much. The Lord Jesus is faithful. He's the same, the Bible says, yesterday and today forever. To be more like Jesus, you have to be more like that. Verse 7. The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him. You want to be a just man, you want to be a good man in the eyes of God. Seek to make your life blameless. Without blame, empty. So there's no accusation that can be brought. Not just to compare with your neighbor and say, I'm better than him. Not to be good in some areas, but to be ignoring others and saying, oh, you've got to allow me these things. Nobody's perfect. Yes, I do these things, but we've all got our faults. The Bible calls us to strive to be blameless. What things in your life has God made you aware of? What things has God shown you you need to be changing? Don't ignore them and say those things are small. Don't ignore them and say, well, the rest is good. But seek to be blameless. And blessed are his children after him. Children watch. They see if we allow ourselves. We allow ourselves parts of our life which aren't right. They see if we have a good appearance on the outside, but some things we're not trying to improve. Well, you want your children to follow in a good way? Well, seek in all of life to be blameless. Verse 8. When a king sits on his throne to judge, he winnows out all evil with his eyes. This one I found a little difficult to really understand the full meaning of. But winnowing, as when you have the wheat, and also you have the weed or the chaff, and you're separating them. In Israel, they used to do it when the breeze was coming in the evening. They had a tool, it was called a winnowing fork. They threw up all the wheat and the chaff into the air. The wheat was heavy, and it fell down again. The chaff was light, and the wind blew it away. So you separated it out. Rulers should be just. They should be wise. Whether you're just a leader in your family, whether you have a gift to show others the way in places of work, or whether you're called to lead in the church, you should be wise. You should know how to separate between good and evil. I think it's perhaps the verse is also a warning. When you get brought before the king or the ruler, he knows how to deal with people like you. Don't think you can hide your ways from him. When Jesus comes to judge, he will separate perfectly those who love him and those who are pretending. He'll do it with those blazing eyes of fire that we read of. Number 9. Don't think you can hide your sin. So maybe 9 goes with 8. You know, there's a king and he's judging. Don't think you can hide from him. But verse 9, we're all sinners. Who can say, I've kept my heart pure, I'm clean, I'm without sin? So don't pretend that you have no sin. God knows our hearts. God knows that we need forgiveness. God knows that we need to repent. Perhaps verse 10 is also connected. You know, we judge our neighbor by one standard. We judge ourselves with a different standard. But verse 10 says that different weights and different measures, the Lord detests them both. Hypocrisy is a sin that the Bible hates. And Jesus, when you really find him angry with sin, it's often the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. They weighed their neighbors one way, but they weighed themselves a different way. They justified themselves, but others they condemned. But God hates differing weights, differing measures. See, now I said at the start that really the way to deal with each proverb, is to try to go deeper. And we're trying to get through a number of them. But verse 10, of course, it applies in many things in life. Person who trades in the market is the obvious one. He buys and he sells, and he's got his scales. He puts the weights and he measures out what he's selling you. He's selling you wheat, he's selling you flour, selling you bananas, I don't know. He puts the weights, then he sells. But when he comes to buy, oh, he's got a different set of weights. He brings out a different bag so that he gets a better deal when he's buying. And so he deceives, and so he cheats his customers, and he cheats those he buys from. Maybe you never know, maybe you don't realize that people are doing that when they're weighing out. But God sees it, and he loathes it. Verse 14 is also buying and selling. So much deceiving and cheating goes on when we're buying and selling. You find something you want to buy, and the trader, he builds it up, he makes it sound very good. When we buy parts for our car, you ask them, is this a real part? Oh yes, yes, yes. But you find it breaks after a few months because it's a fake. Or the buyer says, oh, I don't want this, this is rubbish. Your wheat is old. Your potatoes don't taste good. I can only buy it at a very low price. You'll have to bring the price far, far down. Then the buyer goes away and he says to his wife, got a great price. I got a really good price. And all this lying and deceiving and cheating. Well, that's what God calls it. That's the name that God gives to it. We say we're just being wise. We've been careful with our money. But there's a limit. And we cross it too often. And God, he doesn't call it being clever with our money. He calls it lying and cheating and stealing, because that's what it is. It's no good, it's no good, says the buyer. Then he goes off and boasts about his purchase, says, great price. Let's be open, people. Let's be honest, people, not deceivers. Verses 11 and 12, talking about character. We judge people by their character, not their fine words. Not just one thing they do today, but the whole course of their life. And actually, we do this even with children. We get to know our children. They're different. Different strengths, different weaknesses. One of them struggles with this sin. Another one in a different area. We weigh up even the ways of our children. But God, he weighs up all things. So maybe 11 and 12 go together. You know, God has made ears, so God can hear. God has made eyes, so God can see. He weighs up. He looks at our character. He knows how we are. We can't deceive him. Let's look at verse 15 and verse 18. And just a general plea to be wise. All these are different types of wisdom, but sometimes he reminds us how valuable wisdom is. Verse 15, there's gold, there's many rubies. But to speak knowledge, that is a really rare jewel. But to find the person who speaks well, who speaks truth, who speaks encouragement, who speaks love, not just cross and angry, not just complaining, not just gossiping, not just lying and cheating. To find lips which speak good things. Well, that's even better than gold, better than jewels, and often harder to find. Verse 19 is also about speaking. Verse 19 is also about friends and finding good friends. So many of these proverbs, they speak about the same things. Verse 19, a gossip betrays a confidence. You know, a gossip, they come and listen to you and they talk, they seem like your friend, then they go to your neighbor, say, do you know what I heard? I was just in the house of so and so. Do you know what they were telling me? Let me tell you about them. Let me tell you about their problems. Let me tell you the secrets they told me. Proverbs says, beware a person who talks too much. They come and talk about all the things they heard in other places, and they want to listen to you. Then they'll go and share the things they heard about you as well. Proverbs says, avoid a man who talks too much when you're choosing your friends. I think especially young ladies when growing up. There's always these other young ladies, they're so very interesting, they talk so much. And they tell you everybody's secrets. They do the same with yours. They tell other people your secrets too when you're not there. Don't encourage such people. Avoid them, it says. Let's stop there. We study most of those proverbs, but I hope it's helpful to see there's so many things, so many pieces of advice, but in the book, we just looked at a few. Study these one by one to see wisdom. See what a difference it would make to life if we learnt and we did these things. Let's ask God to help us to seek out his wisdom like one digging for treasure, to go deep, to find these jewels, to display them in our lives.